You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We are a little more than a month away from the start of a new legislative session here in Idaho. The Republican majority will have an even stronger hold on the levers of power this year after an election where conservative gained ground here in our state. But joining the ranks of the Democratic minority will be new Boise lawmaker Ali Raabi. We've actually had her on the program before in her role as the executive director of Jesse Tree. This is a nonprofit that works to help people facing eviction in the Treasure Valley. Raabi spoke with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, and he started the interview by asking her whether she would keep her job with Jesse Tree while serving in the legislature.
Yes, I definitely will remain at Jesse Tree. Just we'll be able to contribute less hours and less time during the legislative session for that 75 days from January through March.
And very quick, regarding Jesse Tree, the city of Boise recently awarded $150,000 to Jesse Tree. Can I assume that that money, goes to payments for rent, things like that?
Yes. So we've been working really closely with the city of Boise and our other partners working in homelessness and housing in the community over the past year. And we're really honored that the city has decided to invest in prevention, particularly. This $150,000 will all go to catching people up on rent that is owed, security deposits, kind of anything to get people, keep people in their homes during a housing crisis.
I've read that rent has increased by, almost 10% in Boise just since the pandemic began.
Yes, the housing crisis has not stopped or even let up a little bit during the pandemic. We know that the cost of rent continues to increase while wages are still stagnant. So more and more of our neighbors are living on the line.
To be clear, evictions did continue and do continue through the pandemic, yes?
Yep. There was a federal eviction moratorium that landed in September, but that moratorium only applies to certain renters that fulfill certain criteria. And also, they have to prove that they meet those criteria in some courts. And every court and every judge is treating the moratorium differently. So that being said, it's been really hard for tenants to qualify for that. At the same time, tenants are not exempted from their liability to pay their rent. And so we're seeing millions of tenants all around the country, thousands in our community, incurring consumer debt in the form of back rent that they owe.
When will you find out your State House committee assignments for the legislative session?
Well, that's a great question. I will find that out in our orientation, which is in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. All of the new legislators attend a 3-day orientation just to understand the rules, get committee assignments, and kind of prep for the session. So that will happen in a couple weeks.
You can appreciate being in a, let's face it, a super minority. Chances are you're going to have multiple committee assignments.
Yes, I will definitely expect to have 3 at the minimum. I've got my eye on a few committees, some preferences that I have, but so I'm really interested in any of them. I think this is my first session.
If you had your druthers, what would they be?
Natural resources, health and welfare. I'm also really interested in education.
Your mom was a teacher, yes?
She was. She taught in at Borah High for a while, and then we moved out to Middleton. She taught in the Middleton School District she was a teacher for 30 years.
Should the legislature even be meeting in person come January?
You know, I feel conflicted about that just for my own personal health and safety. I certainly don't want to get coronavirus, and I don't want any of my fellow legislators, a lot of whom are in the higher risk category, to get coronavirus. Also, with cases spiking here locally, that's definitely a concern. There are some legislatures that are holding virtual sessions. Some in other states have even pushed back the session to later in the spring or the summer. I don't believe that will happen for Idaho for various reasons, but I wish there was more of an option for that for folks.
What did you learn on the campaign trail?
Two big things that I learned was, one, it was really difficult to campaign during a presidential election year, particularly this one where things are so polarized and people would hear that I was a Democrat and slam the door in my face without even hearing from me about why I was running or my background or anything. And that was just really difficult to experience as someone who's from here and cares about this community and works really hard for this community and people in our community every day. So that was definitely interesting. And I think the other was just in line with that, folks were so focused on the presidential election that a lot of them didn't even know, a lot of people I talked to didn't even know about local races down the ballot that are so, so important and actually directly impact our lives more than the president. So just having really interesting conversations with people about those local races highlighted for me the need to get the word out more about local politics and how important these races are.
Your success on election night countered most of what Idaho saw on election night.
The Democrats did not do well in Idaho on election night. But my district, the Boise Bench, is a bit more blue than others. I'm also campaigning really hard and talk to a lot of folks to try to get them to do more of a mixed ticket ballot, meaning they voted across party lines.
Well, something worked. 62% of the vote.
Yes, I'm very proud of that. And but I represent everybody, 100% of everyone in my district who voted and even those who didn't. So I'm looking forward to continue to connect with people throughout the next years. And I'll be continuing to knock on doors and make phone calls and answer emails to constituents, no matter their party affiliation.
What is your inbox like?
My inbox is constantly full and fluctuating. Every day is kind of what I call a triage approach, where I kind of have to shift my priorities and try to get things done in between meetings. I've got a lot of energy. And I mean, this year in particular has been a really productive year for me because there's nothing else to do but work, really.
So. To be clear, the Idaho legislature has been defined for as long as most people can remember as old and male. And you are anything but any of those.
People want to see diversity in our governmental bodies. And, you know, I have nothing bad to say about any of my future fellow colleagues in the legislature, but we certainly lack diversity in the state Senate and the state House. And I think some people potentially voted for me because they wanted to see more diversity. But I think, too, people voted for me because of my experience in public service and dedication to public service. And what I really campaigned on was a desire to bring more balance and fairness and civility to our state legislature.
Did you hear from your mom on election night?
I did. My mom was my star volunteer. She made more phone calls than any other volunteer that I had, calling voters. And so I think she felt pretty confident that I was going to win after talking to so many people. And my dad both really congratulated me. My dad also took and donated $100 out of his Social Security check to donate to my campaign every month. My parents are both very supportive.
And that was State Senator-elect Allie Robbie speaking with our George Prentice. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.